Please, please, it's too much winning. We can't take it anymore. Mr. President, it's too much. And I'll say, no, it isn't. We have to keep winning. We have to win more.
You fought in the Clone Wars?
Yes. I was once a Jedi Knight, the same as your father.
Johnny, what's the difference between us and them? Because we live here.
Life moves pretty fast. You don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
Greetings, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters. Welcome back to the Mountain Pass Podcast. This is your host, as always, TJ Martinell, coming to you from my war room in my Fortress Americana in the heart of Cascadia. The date is Friday, May 13th, Friday the 13th. This will be the Friday the 13th episode. I did not actually know or realize that until I just started recording. I also want to give a shout out to the NSA and all the other people listening to this podcast. You're wondering, well, you're not that special to be listening to. Somebody's listening, I can assure you. So when I say random stuff throughout the day, guys, just remember, it's only for you guys who are constantly listening to our phones, to our tablets, which I don't have, and my laptop. I know I was supposed to get out episodes earlier this week. I actually recorded one, and it was too low energy. I didn't have that pep that I need, you know, keep me on my toes where I gotta be. And I thought, you know what, you, my dear listeners, all you loyal people out there, you deserve a higher quality podcast. And I'm gonna give it to you. I've also just been lazy. Like yesterday, it's been raining every freaking day. And not like in a, oh, it's scenic, we're in Ireland, let's sit back and, you know, enjoy the rain over a stew. No, it's the, I want to just sit there, drink beer, and watch Home Improvement all afternoon, which is what I did. Except for the beer part. I mean, there's nothing to do outside. When I had my garden, there was at least something to work on, or, you know, there was something to do. There's always these projects or something like that, but there's not a whole lot, and can't go motorcycle riding, and it's just one of those where if it keeps raining like this, I'm going to just watch the entire DC animated universe from Batman, the animated series, to Justice League Unlimited, just go straight at it. Get a pot of coffee, drink the coffee, watch the show, maybe take some notes. I don't know. There's a couple of things that have been on my mind, and I've probably talked about it on a prior podcast because I do not keep track of what I talk about on my podcast because I've done way too many of them. I don't know how Aaron, Clary, and other guys who do podcasting or live stream. I guess they're always talking about the latest thing or something like that, or they've got, you know, the Google chat thing set up so people can keep them, you know, occupied with stuff. I got to do this just on my own. And what I mean by that is I got to come up with the ideas and just keep talking. And I'm not bantering back and forth with someone else on a podcast. That's why I always like shows where people are like bantering back and forth with someone else. It's just easier to do because you're actually talking to someone, you're responding to what they're saying. I guess I guess the first thing that I think about is, you know, I'd say social media, particularly on just like stuff like basically Facebook, Twitter, all that other stuff. I think that stuff has its use. I really don't use Facebook anymore. I only have that there just as a... I used to be really active on Facebook. I used to be really active in a lot of groups where I'd chat, debate, discuss. And honestly, I've stopped doing that. And, you know, here's another... It was the new chat forums. It was the modern day chat forums. When you go in, you'd be in a Facebook group and you communicate with people. The same thing with Twitter. Twitter's more of the public chat forum type stuff. But here's the thing, guys. if you're a man and you are a traditionally masculine man with some self-dignity, you are never going to really amount to anything as far as being an online presence. So that's not necessarily, unless you're anonymous and then you can kind of do what, you know, that's different. I'm talking about being public. And this isn't, I'm not talking about me. I'm just making an observation that, you know, you're thinking of how old, I'd say traditional men from like the 50s, how they respond if they were on Twitter. Well, guys, here's the thing. Eventually it would lead to something. It would lead to them doing something. They would be using Twitter or Facebook or stuff like that to talk about something that they're doing. And I think that a lot of the trap, the great trap for us men, is to spend too much time talking about stuff and not actually doing it. Because there's a lot of people who aren't going anywhere in their lives, and they're online just to argue with other people to keep them from actually doing something. So if you're working on a project or you're working on something like that, those are great places where you can discuss it and, you know, maybe get involved in that kind of, just get other people who are also like-minded and action-oriented. I think that that's what I'm trying to get at is, I just spent a lot of time arguing with people in years past over stuff as if we needed to come to a consensus, and we didn't. And it didn't lead to anything meaningful. I mean, this is, if I ever had a son, I'd say, and like, you know, with the online stuff, I'd say, son, one, never, I mean, you know, he's a digital virgin. So it's like he has a fresh slate. He can do what, you know, he gets to, he doesn't have to put it back in the box, so to speak. One of the things I would say to him is, one, the internet is there to, in social and all that other stuff, that needs to be serve a purpose of what are you doing? Like, you're going on YouTube, you know, don't go on there just to watch live streams. Don't go on, like, don't set up a, like, don't argue with people online unless you need something from them. And then it's, if you're arguing with them, you know, you don't, it, don't get caught up in stuff. And I do that because sometimes it's fun and sometimes it's, you know, I just can't help it. But we also need to be realistic about what can be done outside of our, I mean, I think that, and it depends on where you're at and your circumstances. So I'm not trying to determine what my audience is or what you're listening to or what your life circumstances are. But I think that life now is a lot of us, there's just so much uncertainty. I think that this is why we spend a lot of time, a lot of people spend their time on social media. We're waiting. It's the feeling in the air, to use a very cliche term, is that the world as we know it, the way of life that we've been living, is on the cusp of ending. And what I mean is, I don't mean nuclear war or some sort of, you know, natural disaster. I mean where I could wake up one morning and the United States government has collapsed. Now, it may last another 100 years. I don't know. But I don't have any faith in the United States government. And every single morning, some major event's going on, like interest rates go up, inflation's going up, there's all these shortages. Like, these things are not insignificant, and they're not things that you can just ignore. You can't say, well, you know, if I turn off my, if I stop looking at the internetsies, it's going to go away. No, you're staying up to date on stuff that's affecting your life. You know, when you go to the grocery store and all the food prices are jacked up, or when you go to fill up your gas and the gas prices are jacked up, or you're trying to buy a house and the house prices are either jacked up or the interest rates are jacked up, so you can't afford, like, all these things are happening at a very fast pace, and life is changing very rapidly. So I think that that's why a lot of us are online. We're like, we're kind of like being held on the edge of our seat. I guess, you know, my thought is it, and again, it really depends on what, like, if you got kids, if you got kids that are out of the house, if you're retired, like, I have no idea. Well, the question is, what do you do? I mean, that's a question I've been pondering for the last couple of months. Is like, what do you do? And in some cases, I'll get to the kind of the end first. And that is ultimately there's no solution. There's only mitigation. Because I think that what, I mean, I'm thinking only, I'm reflecting on my life and how I grew up and the environment I grew up in and the social dynamics that I was immersed in. And that does not exist anymore. And much of my life was spent trying to either replicate that or find it. And you realize it's gone. I mean, in a lot of ways, we spend time online interacting with people because we have difficulty finding similar people in real life. And that doesn't mean these people don't exist. I think this is something we really need to get at the heart of what the issue is it's very difficult to identify like-minded people in many aspects. And I think that this is probably an easier thing to do in certain parts of America. I come from the Pacific Northwest, and the social dynamics are much, much more difficult. I mean, this is something where, you know, I mean, this is a question I am asking myself, is that after a certain age, if I'm still living the life I'm living, do I want to live it in the Pacific Northwest? Because I think that there are opportunities. Here's the thing about the Pacific Northwest is this is a place where many people who don't belong elsewhere come. And their identity is rooted ultimately in not belonging somewhere else. They don't. And this is a thing that I hope you, dear listeners, understand. This is not a conscious thought of theirs, probably. This is a deeply subconscious thing, which makes it even more difficult. I mean, this is one of the problems with the 21st century human relations, is people do things and don't, they lack what I, you know, I did that episode on self-awareness. They lack basic self-awareness. You know, and not to toot my own horn, but I have enough self-awareness to know that, yes, I could move to the East Coast at some point, but I'm not from the East Coast originally, and I probably would have a very difficult time moving from the mountains. And, you know, it would be a trade-off because now I'm surrounded by American history and heritage, my family's heritage. You know, is that really going to solve the big problem that that I'm seeing? That is a good question. I don't know. Or am I going to be at a point where I just end up not really, you know, I've said this before, that for a man, if you have three meaningful friends who live on the same block as you, that changes your entire life. When you have someone who lives right next to you or right across the street, and you guys can just go hang out on an ordinary, regular basis. You don't have to schedule anything. You don't have to do anything. And you can just, You know, you open your garage, you break out a couple of bottles of beer, you put on the football game or whatever sports ball that you want to watch, and you're hanging out and you got a pool table or something like that. And you just do that on the spur of the moment. As opposed to now, it's almost like with a lot of friends, you feel like you're not negotiating, but you feel like you have to set up appointments. You know, everything's got to be scheduled. Everything has to be planned in advance because people aren't really in control of their lives. And this, again, is why people go on social media, I think, right? There's one guy I follow called Dago Supremacy. He's a Twitter account that, you know, promotes Italian stuff. He's not from Italy, I believe. But I like following his stuff and reading, watching the stuff that he talks about, because it's stuff that I would love to talk about with someone in my personal life, like in just my community or town. But most of them are probably not going to do that. Or my buddy Vince, who's talking about geek stuff, or a couple other Twitter accounts I follow where they are talking about the stuff that I like talking about. It would be cool to get a beer with them at the local brewery, but they live in the Midwest. They live on the East Coast. They don't live anywhere near me. That may be not the solution, just the trade-off. And there may not be, this may be the best it's going to be for many people. Now, I've theorized the idea of people who are like-minded and get along, finding a place somewhere in the country, moving there, buying homes, buying up a commercial space, and kind of building some sort of synergy where people. And the problem is, it's a dream. It's a cool idea. I don't think barring some sort of national crisis, it's not going to happen. And one of the reasons is because it would require people making actual commitment and making big decisions. I mean, if you really hate where you live and you aren't, whatever it is, that's easy for you to do. But now you have to actually work with this. This changes the dynamic of the relationship. You know, if it's only an online thing, your collaboration and cooperation only has to go so far. Now you're living in physical proximity. And there is a deeper, I'd say, social obligation. You don't just get to turn off your internet or shut down your laptop or turn off your phone and you don't have to deal with people. This is why I've talked about why the rise of the lone wolf. This idea that it's basically going to be a world. This is another dynamic that I thought about, is that one of the problems is that to break out of the I'd say official narrative of of the system, you have to be pretty strong-willed and kind of be independent thinking, and you don't like being told what to do. And you have to not really care about what other people think. Well, that's going to really lean towards certain types of people who are, it's my way or the highway type thing. So you have a bunch of I don't know if the term is A type, but you have a bunch of people who are very individualistic in nature. They are not going to cooperate. And that kills me, because as much as I'm an individual, I understand the importance of teamwork, how it's not about being necessarily the best. It's about being able to work together. That a lot of great things can be accomplished when men work together. They can accomplish things that you wouldn't believe. You know, give me five men who work well together. And there's pretty much anything that they put their minds to do, they can do. But you've got a bunch of the people who are actually talking about this stuff. They're the chefs. They all want to be the chef in the kitchen. They all want to be the film director of the movie. They all want to be the author. Nobody wants to be the editor. Everybody wants to be in charge. And they don't understand how hierarchy works. And they see hierarchy as being, an indication of one's worth and importance. You know, people who are used to being men who are used to being their own men and calling the shots and being in control, now they suddenly are in a system where they're not at the top of the pecking order. And a lot of them just seethe or just are repulsed by that idea. Because they lack, I'm going to be a little harsh here, they lack humility. Or they're just, their flaws, they're just control freaks. It's not about them being able to do it. They have to be in control. And they would rather not get something greater that comes from collaborating if it meant them giving up control. This is my curse, I'd say, my Cassandra's curse. We got to come up with a male name for it. The curse is seeing what could be, but never will. Like, if you had enough men who were willing and able to work together, you know, I always think about that in the areas of my life where I'm like, it's a dream, is the idea of just getting a bunch of guys together and restoring an old classic car. You know, getting someone's garage and everybody contributes in their own way. Like, somebody provides tools, another person provides a space, and it's kind of just nobody owns the vehicle. It's a group thing. It's a car club. And the problem is, the moment you try and put a club like that together, one, you got to get guys who are actually willing to commit, which is impossible. And then you've got guys who immediately start trying to basically take complete control over the group. So that's been my observation, is that there are men out there who are capable of working together with others, and you can pretty much tell who they are. They're people who don't have to be in control. They understand. They may actually be better leaders, but they're just not going to fight over control of the space or control of the group, because they want that greater thing that is accomplished by working together. And they know that they would not be able to get it going about it their own way. But as I said before, here's the other just sad part, is that the online relationships will never replace meaningful in-person ones. It's just not the same. It is a substitute, but it is an inferior one. That's just how it is. It's an inferior substitute. And I think it's going to be worse for men of my age and older as we age, because we know, it's like that line from the Avengers Endgame where Thanos is remarking that, you know, he thought if he killed off half the universe, the other half would thrive and prosper. He goes, instead, they won't be able to accept what is because they know what was. And that, I think, is our curse, is we know things used to be different, but we lost it. I'd say a lot of us lost it. We got a taste of it, and then it was taken away. I think, though, the, one, I guess, lesson or insight is, to the best of your ability, this is kind of what I've been, because I was hanging out with Vince over in Gettysburg, and I was just, I like parts of the East Coast. I like being over there and you know, meeting up with people that I chat with online. And I think it's going to be like, there's not going to be an ideal. There's just going to be a best case scenario. And the best case scenario is to meet people online, come up with some sort of, process by which you verify that they are who they say they are. You meet up with them in person and you build an in-person relationship, and then it goes from there. And I'm speaking about men, at least in my position. You're going to have to put in the effort and you're going to have to do the work. You're going to have to make it a commitment. And it's going to be tougher than dealing, with having men who live across the road or across the street. I mean, I grew up in an environment where several very close family friends lived within walking distance. So if we wanted to just on the spur of the moment have a family gathering, like families gather and hang out and have fun, we could do that, and the logistics were very minimal. Another thing I found, here's another example. Every summer when I was a kid, for years, we would go on these family camping adventures with seven families. Like the logistics of that, because food would be brought for group breakfasts and group meals. Not all the time, but for some of it. Like the logistics of coordinating the time, the date, the location, and all that other stuff, and getting everyone to commit, that would not be possible today. Because somebody would just, for whatever reason, I think it's a, is it in the water or something? But somebody would just pick something to fight over and refuse to back down, or just say, I can't commit to that week, or this is like basically come up with a reason to not do it. I feel like people, like indecisiveness is becoming like some sort of like disease, where we're allowed to sit there and rage on Twitter, but if you actually take a strong action, people freak out. I'd say going through a very, I'd say culturally and socially, cataclysmic time where we are having to figure out we're in a new frontier. And it's really a question of whether people actually want to come up with meaningful actions to take to address problems that we all see. And maybe this will change. Maybe things will get better. I can't be optimistic. I don't want to be optimistic or pessimistic. I just want to be realistic. You know, and this, I think, affects some people more than others, especially people who had an very strong idea of what life was going to be like, or they were very much fond of how things were. And I think one of the struggles that we will have is accepting what life is actually going to be, or what life is. And coming to terms with that. And not letting bitterness of what should have been cloud us from achieving what we can. I just know it's not going to be solved arguing with some random person on social media. So on that note, I hope you enjoyed listening to this podcast. I'm going to try and get more out more frequently and stop being lazy. So stay tuned. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Mountain Pass Podcast. This is your host, TJ Martinell, coming to you from my war room in my Fortress Americana in the heart of Cascadia, signing off.
It's over. Go home. Go.